I trust that you noted as we sang that song that there was a word that was repeated several times. That word is truth. And the title of the message this morning is By the Truth. Let's open our Bibles now to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs 23, and I will begin reading there at verse 19. We have God's word as follows. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. Drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto your father that begat you, and despise not your mother when she's old. Buy the truth, and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart. Let thine eyes observe my ways. For whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. And she also lieth in wait as for prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. As for the reading of God's word, may He bless it to our lives, to our spiritual nourishment and understanding today. Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, hear these words from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55, 1-3. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Isaiah 55, 1-3. You know, week by week, Sunday by Sunday, these words will be spoken from many a pulpit, and will appear in many a bulletin as the congregation is called to worship, or to Sunday school, or to Bible study. As the church calls the people to worship, to read and study the Word of God, it heeds the high calling of preaching and teaching the truth. A calling that is both implicit and explicit in the words of the proverb that serves as our text for this morning. Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth, sell it not. Also buy wisdom and instruction and understanding. The church must busy herself with this calling in the midst of the world. A world which Solomon describes in the chapter that was just read in terms of some pretty stark realism. In a world that often has no place for wisdom, but rather is filled with pleasure seekers and riotous eating of the flesh, given over completely to the pursuit of self-satisfaction and the pleasure principle. As a whore, as a prostitute, seeks to lead men to misery and destruction, so the world of dark corruption would lead the faithful into all manner of transgression and iniquity, enticing them into compromising positions so that they know not, nor care for, the truth. but rather love the lie. The opposition of truth, or the opposite, I should say, of truth. The lie. The history of the lie, think of it. The history of the lie is a long and deadly one. It has been in existence almost from the very beginning. It was the way that our first parents were tempted. Remember? They fell for the lie of Satan. And then that lie became the heart of their defense as they made excuses for their sin. They had learned well from the tempter, who you recall too is described as a liar right from the beginning, and who is aptly called, John 8 verse 44, aptly called the father of lies. Truth has become a very scarce commodity in our day and age, as it was in former ages as well. The prophet Isaiah is on point when he writes in chapter 59, 14 and 15, judgment is turned away backward, justice stands afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil makes himself a prey. You know, if ever, since these words were first spoken by the prophet Isaiah, there is a more direct application, I believe it's our day and age. Truth is constantly challenged, despised. Lying has become the all-purpose tool, you know, the all-purpose tool or weapon in the arsenal of natural man. Lies, think about it, lies have become almost respectable. I shouldn't probably say almost. Lies have become respectable in areas where once they were dealt with most severely. Take the field of science, for example, an area where one certainly should be in pursuit of the truth. It has now been revealed that major medical studies like animal migration, climatology, evolution were not only based on lies, but then even on more lies in a cover-up. In the field of education, we are now discovering that promotion and advancement is often done according to social considerations rather than academics. The field of politics, that's rife with lies. And politicians, from the highest office on down, now lie with impunity. It's not only expected, but accepted. It's called spin. You've heard that? Called spin rather than sin. Immorality has now become morality. And so marriage is redefined. And the homosexual lifestyle and same-sex marriage not only accepted, but made a matter of civil rights and placed in the same category as race, which should be an offense against every minority. Abortion is now a legal means of murder. And what is probably worst of all is that much that goes under the name of church now loves and promotes the lie over against the truth. Adultery, fornication, no longer condemned. Earlier in chapter 59, the prophet Isaiah, inspired by God, speaks to us with words that are equally relevant and applicable to our time just as they were to his. Listen. But your iniquities have separated you from God. And your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. And as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Isaiah 59, 2-4, and 12 and 13. So again, beloved, how the church must heed again the words of our text. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also this proverb, Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. But they that deal truly are his delight. And so, in this evil and precarious climate, God's people must hear and heed the words of our text. Buy the truth and sell it not. And also get wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth. What is truth? You know, with that question, Pilate responded to Jesus when our Lord stood before him and declared, "For this cause I was born, for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." John 18:37. And you know, the word God uses here is the word for truth, aletheia. In the Greek dictionaries, describes or gives it a rich meaning. The word includes the idea of firmness, you know, of certainty, of faithfulness, of integrity, of justice. And thus, whatever shade of meaning the word may have in a given context, it always denotes that which is in opposition to falsehood and the lie. To that which is temporal and imaginary. To that which is deceitful and unreal. Truth is reality. And truth is the presentation of reality, of all reality. Truth. That's the accurate presentation of all things with respect to God, in respect to Christ, in respect to man, who he is, in respect to heaven and hell, in respect to things past, present, and future. Classic passage for understanding our text is Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, where Moses, in his song, speaks of Jehovah this way. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. A God of truth. God is truth. He is truth personified. And as the rock, as he's described here, he is the unchanging reality. So that truth which he reveals is also unchanging. We may know this because he has sent his Son to us, who said concerning himself, remember the words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. This eternal Son of God, who is the Word of God from the beginning, is the complete and perfect revelation of the Father. He came into this world, and the world did not receive Him because their deeds were evil. 1 John 1:10-11. Yet the true church sees Him as the light, and in Him knows the truth to be unchanging and absolute. He was and is the living Word of God. Now, Solomon shows us how precious this truth is by telling us that wisdom, instruction, and understanding are the products of truth. Truth is precious because it makes us wise unto salvation. 2 Timothy 3:15. Because it gives a person both knowledge of reality and the ability to live in harmony with it. True wisdom is the product of truth and is a gift given only to those who are in Christ. Instruction. Instruction really means correction. The word used here for instruction refers to the disciplinary aspect of truth, whereby one who strays is corrected and brought back again to the right path. Understanding is the primary idea of distinguishing and separating mentally. When a person has the truth, he has all these things. Buy the truth, sell it not, and then get wisdom, instruction, and understanding. When a person has the truth, he has all those things. And hence the truth, you see, the truth is able to set him free from falsehood. And this is exactly what our Lord tells us in John 8:31-32. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And what is that freedom? You know, freedom is usually thought of by the world as being free to do one's own thing, of whatever is right in one's own eyes. Well, yeah, man is free to do his own thing. But his own thing is sin. Man can and will do that. It's his nature. Born and conceived in sin and prone by nature to what? Hate God and his neighbor. And in his sinful and fallen nature, man thinks he's really free because he can do whatever his heart desires. And he can. He can go out and get drunk. He can take drugs. He can commit fornication. He can lie, steal, cheat, murder, eat, drink, be merry. He can do all those things. But in his so-called freedom, beloved, he's the worst kind of slave. For he has fallen for Satan's lie. Like Adam and Eve. Remember? When they rebelled against God. They fell for Satan's lie, thinking that they would become absolutely free. And like God, they would know good and evil and everything in between. But in believing Satan's lie, they became his slaves. living now in the bondage of sin. Man became dead in sin, totally depraved, wholly incapable of any good. And his only hope and escape, as our catechism teaches us, being born again by the Spirit of God. Just confess that. Only then can he know the truth and be freed from Satan's lie and bondage. Because you see, the truth will teach him who man is and what he has become. That is, will teach him about his origin, his nature, his nature by birth, his sinful and miserable condition, his need of redemption, and how he is to live a life of thankfulness. The truth will reveal to us what it revealed to the Apostle Paul. Galatians 5:17, where we read, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." Galatians 5:17. The truth will make us free and show us that man was created to glorify God, to enjoy Him forever. But that man fell into sin, but through Christ can again walk in grace and truth and be restored to God's favor. Now, next logical question is, where can all this truth be found? Jesus answers that question for us when he prayed to the Father to preserve his apostles and all believers. Remember the words? John 17:17. "Sanctify them through truth. Thy word is truth." Beloved, the Bible. The Bible is the source book for all truth. First, it is the truth because according to its own testimony, it's God-breathed, inspired by God. 2 Timothy 3:16. The words of the Bible are the very breath of God. And secondly, the Bible is the whole truth in that it presents reality in its proper perspective and relationships. And in this modern age, man worships in the temple of science. He will tell us that perhaps for matters of faith and doctrine, you can go searching in your Bibles. But if you want to know about the world, about history, and about science, then you've got to seek out the philosophers, the historians, the scientists. That's the world's source of truth. So far out of joint. Beloved, the believer must learn first of all to start with the Bible. Now, I'm not inferring that there is no place for learning and higher learning apart from the Bible. Of course there is. The point is that there is no area of knowledge that is not interpreted and strictly bound by the Word of God. It gives us the whole truth in all of its beautiful harmony. Yes, the whole truth. Thirdly, the Bible as the Word of God is the only truth. Everything apart from Scripture, without that as the foundation, every word of man that is not spoken in light of Scripture is based upon the lie. And it proceeds from a false premise. It's like, I remember Professor Van Til says, you know, it's like setting a ladder of water upon a foundation of water. Think about that. You're not going to get any place. There's no truth in all of its sorry, in all of this sorry world except for that which God has spoken. And man, as he multiplies his words in magazines and books, in lectures at universities and colleges, in seminaries and in many a pulpit, does nothing but lie. But lie against the truth if he is not founded upon the inspired and infallible Word of God. He's setting up a ladder of water on a foundation of water. Now perhaps you are questioning this a bit. Or, just think it through. You say that when the scientist says the earth revolves around the sun, or the biologist says that genes determine heredity, that these are true arguments. But are they really the whole truth? Can they ever be if such a person fails to take into account the sovereignty of God, whereby He directs and upholds all things? Because you see, again, it's only in God's light that we see light. And then we see and know the truth. John Calvin was on point, exactly, when he said we must see all things through the spectacles of Scripture. Beloved, it's imperative that the Word of God underlie then all instruction and thought. Our goal must be to have our children and young people instructed in the truth. To have them live in a home and environment where truth is known and loved. Buy the truth and sell it not. You know, when Solomon gives this command, he does not mean that we can buy it with money. Because truth is priceless. He's using, of course, a figure of speech. To buy there is the idea of to take possession of something, to get a hold of it. As you stand in the generations of Reformed believers, you have, beloved, a rich heritage of Reformed confessions. As the truth is preached to you Sabbath by Sabbath, as the Word is the center of your home life and the training of your seed, take possession of it. Get a hold of it. Embrace it. And negatively, do not sell it. Plain implication is that to possess the truth, then, is going to cost. It may be that everything has to go for the sake of the truth. Recall the words of our Lord when He said, "Whosoever loveth son or daughter or father or mother more than Me is not fit for the kingdom." Matthew 10:37. Nothing may stand in the way of our possessing the truth of the Word of God. Not family, not jobs, not name or position. Buy the truth and sell it not. Now, practically, this has some implications for the church as she reveals herself in congregations, in denominations, in seminaries. It's the church's duty to teach God's people the truth. Because how is the church described? In 1 Timothy 3:15, the church described as being the pillar and ground of truth. Now, a lot of churches do not proclaim the truth of sovereign predestination, election and reprobation, total depravity, limited atonement, that Christ did not die for all men, a literal six-day creation, male headship and eldership, the sanctity of marriage between a man and a woman. Many churches have relaxed those positions. And because they have also done away with discipline and the eventual climax of discipline, it leads to excommunication. In that way, no one is ever refused. No one is ever put out. That way the roles grow. Beloved, more than ever, the church has to be reminded of this proverb: buy the truth and sell it not. Resist all compromise by refusing to go along with the spirit of the age that cannot stand the test of the spirit of truth. To become lax and apathetic is the quickest way to sell the truth. Now, so you see, there are some real implications there for the truth, or for the church, in this proverb: buy the truth. Practically, there are also some real implications for the individual, for you and me. The means by which the Holy Spirit writes the truth upon hearts is through the preaching and teaching of God's Word, through Bible studies, through catechization. If we neglect those means of grace, are we not selling the truth? We must buy the truth, beloved, by hearing this preaching and teaching. Too often, too many view such opportunities as optional. But if we make ourselves so busy with our jobs and our pleasures that we do not prepare for or attend the opportunities that are ours to grow in grace and in knowledge and in the love of God, then we are selling the truth. We're saying, in effect, that it's not all that important. We can get along without it sometimes. Beloved, the truth has to be brought into the home. And in addition to the systematic reading of the Bible, there ought to be discussion of that truth with our children, around the table, in memorization, hiding that truth in their hearts, so that they and we do not sin against God. And then a special word yet to the young people who are tempted in this area, maybe the most. These, of course, are the years that form you. To the years when opportunities are yours that may never be yours again. These are the years when decisions are made which will determine much, if not most, of your future life. Buy the truth. Buy the truth, dear young people, by being faithful. Being faithful to those things which you have been taught in your home, by your parents, in the church, by your elders. And resolve not to sell the truth by leaving it. And you will be tempted. You will be tempted to leave it for the sake of a boyfriend or a girlfriend, for the sake of an education or a job. But again, I implore you to remember this. Buy the truth and sell it not. One more time. Buy the truth and sell it not. If you follow that command, you do not have to worry about anything in the future. Just as He's promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13:5. You will know the truth. The truth will make you free. Make your prayer that of the psalmist. Psalm 86, verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we have heard a portion of your truth this morning. Help us indeed to hide it in our hearts so that we will not sin against you. Write this proverb. Buy the truth and sell it not. Write it on our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.